Can I just give you one word of encouragement? Here's a word of encouragement. Sometimes you sit there and you think, what does my one little life and one little life of obedience ever mean? Answer. God might want to put you next to somebody like Naomi, who you will be used in the reality of your decision-making process and your fullness and your blessing to get them to repent. Now that takes me to Ruth, and we'll close with her. Ruth made a decision. Do you know what Ruth's decision meant to her? Look at verse 16 again. Her mother-in-law tells her, just go back. There's no way you can help me. Just go back. There's no way I can help you. Just go back. Orpah says, okay, I'll go. That's the easy way out. I'll go. What a blessing she missed by not going. She went back to her old lifestyle. Ruth says this, don't ask me to leave you again, and I'm paraphrasing. Don't ask me to return from following you. Where you're going to go, I'm going to go. Where you live, I'm going to live. Where you, the people you dwell with, they're going to be my people. And listen, it's all because your God is going to be my God. And listen, when you die. I'll be buried with you. And listen, if I'm not that faithful, then the Lord do to me. Just take me out of here. Do you know what her decision meant? You know, I know you sit there and you think, well, you know, maybe you're speaking to me, or maybe the Lord brought you and me here together today because we've got, and He's dealing with me, but you don't know what it's going to cost me. Listen, this decision meant this, going where she knew nothing about. Where you go, I go. I mean, Ruth, Naomi didn't say to her, well, here are the pictures, and here's the video, and look at here, here's what you're going to see when you get there, and this is, no. She knew nothing about Bethlehem. It was a foreign country. She just says, I'm going. You talk about costing her. Number two, going to Bethlehem meant she'd have to share in Naomi's poverty. She's in essence saying to Naomi, I know you lost everything. Naomi lost everything. When her husband died, she lost the rights to his property he left behind. She lost everything. That's why there had to be redemption later on. That's why there had to be a kinsman redeemer later on. It meant, I don't care if you have a nickel, I'm going with you. I don't care if there's nothing in my future. It meant that she was going to make this decision not knowing where she was going and not having any material security. We're just going to get on our camels and go. That's all we're going to do. It meant she would live amongst a strange people. You know, when I first moved to Danville, Virginia, this is funny, I had a friend who came to visit me from Canada. And I brought him to take him to a friend of mine who owned this sporting goods store. I used to hunt with him. And he had a sixth grade education. He's dead now. He's with the Lord, this guy. But he spoke, well, I'm going to offend somebody now because I'm a Yankee. He spoke Southern, traditional Virginia Southern. You know, like everything's plural in ES, like fence posters, birds nested, jack it up here. You know what jack it up means, don't you? Lift it up. Jack it up here. These two guys got together, one from the north, Canada, Vancouver, and one from deep south. They talked for an hour, and we got in the car. I said, my wife and I were laughing. I said, you didn't know one thing he said, did you? No. When I got later on to the store, and I said, my friend said, do you understand? He goes, man, I don't understand a man one bit. I'm like, man, you spoke for an hour, and neither one knew what the other one was saying. Now, listen. When Naomi was taking Ruth back, Ruth was a Moabitess. Living in Moab, she didn't speak Jewish. She's going to have to go back in a culture that's not her own, in a language that's not her own. I mean, this was a world apart. This decision was big. They had different customs, different ways. But here's the worst thing. In the Old Testament, the Moabites were despised by Israel. They were told to kill them at one point, every one of them. Would they accept her? See, do you see the cost of this decision? It's going to cost me everything. Ruth said, I don't care. Because one thing mattered, one thing only. Your God. I want your God. I want a relationship with your God. That's all I want. And that's what forced that decision. She wanted that relationship more than anything in this world. She knew if she had a relationship with a true and living God that she'd never have a problem again in her whole life. She knew that she'd never have to worry about anything. She knew she'd never have to worry about provision. She knew that she wouldn't have to worry about anything into eternity. And she even says that. She says, where you die, I die. She had peace about dying. She said, where you die, I die. Her decision cost her a great deal. But what a blessing. Do you know what happens? You get to chapter 4, and you start to realize she made a right decision. What happens? Well, you find You find Naomi again. Here she is holding and nursing the baby, taking care of it. Here's grandma. You know, there's nothing more blessed than a grandmother, except a grandfather, maybe. I mean, it's true. It's true. You think she's bitter anymore? No, she's not bitter anymore. She's just as pleasant as could be again. Why? Because Ruth made a good decision. Well, you say, they even have a baby. Yep, there's fruit. And guess what? That baby will bring joy to that family, joy to the nation, and joy to the whole world. Because that baby is in the lineage of the Lord Jesus when you read Matthew or Luke. You get there and you just shake your head and you think, all this because one girl made the right decision. Yes. Listen, we need to make decisions according to the will of God, according to the Word of God, no matter how painful, no matter how negative it looks. Because in the long run, we're going to be a blessing not only to ourselves, but to others, and maybe even to the whole world. Who knows? Who knows that your one decision might mean? Now, I know we've just touched the tip of the iceberg, but I want to go tonight, Lord willing, those of you that will be back at 6 o'clock, and I want to show you the details of it. I want to show you Lot and Abraham. And how, put side by side, one's going to make a wonderful decision of faith and how the other one isn't. And it's going to show you why and how to make those proper decisions. Kind of bad, isn't it, to get challenged and then have to come back later and find out how? Not for me. You'll just have to come back. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for speaking to our hearts from your word this morning. Our Father, we're thankful most of all for the Lord Jesus who made a decision. Though existing in the form of God, your word tells us, he thought it not a thing to be held onto, but he made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself, took upon himself the form of man apart from sin, and having that form, he became a servant. And he served you, Father, to death, even the death of the cross. He made a decision that directly affected all of mankind and glorified the Father. Our Father, today we're thankful that you've reminded us that it's your heart's desire that we should all repent. And in the moment that we repent and we turn and we confess our bad decisions, that you will be a God who is quick to forgive and to build that relationship again and bring blessing in. And we pray this morning, if you've been speaking to somebody here, to some heart, that decision would be quickly and very easily made, even now in the quietness of this prayer with nobody here. Just a simple prayer, Father, forgive me. I've made a bad decision. Our Father, we're thankful that when you hear that cry, you will open up the heavens again. You will restore blessing again, and you will work in that relationship and bring that relationship to where it will be a blessing not only to themselves, but to others, and who knows, maybe even the whole world. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, you're a gracious God, a loving God, quick to mercy, full of grace and truth. We thank you. And we just pray that we as your people might become gracious people, loving people, long-suffering, showing the very attributes of the God we serve, and that others might see it and others might be attracted to the Lord Jesus. We thank you and give you thanks in his name this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.